who heard and who preached to you.
Father, we just want to thank you for this great day. Father, thank you that God is not given on us, Father, we can trust you, Father. You can prophesy that our own as well, Father, prophesy that with us, Father. That the Christians, Father, the brothers and the sisters, Father, will love one another with a perfect love. Father, that we will support one another, whether we are in the same church or not, Father. But that we will serve one another, support one another, because we serve the same God. I pray that you can make that a reality in our congregation, Father. That we will love one another. Father, where there's just so many barriers that the world puts before us, Father, where there's age, and where there's race, and where there's language, and where there's careers, and where there's, Father, just so many things that the world puts in front of us, Father, to build barriers, Father. Thank you that none of those barriers will stand in this congregation, Father. Thank you that none of those barriers, Father, will stand in front of us. That we will serve one another as Christians. That we will have the boldness to love one another, Father. That we will, Father, break down those walls, Father, that the world tells us that we need. Thank you just for a new boldness, Father, in love, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's so many people here. I love it. Last week we talked about love. We spoke about love. About being a family as Christians. About really, you know, not just pretending to have a relationship with church, but actually just take it out of church. You know, to have a coffee with one another, to spend some time with one another. And I gave everybody that was here last week homework to actually go and do it. To go and meet with one person or two and invite them into your homes or go drink your coffee together. So is there anybody that wants to come and share a testimony about that? Anybody that did that and just wants to tell us a story about it? No,
thank you. I had quite a few meetings with friends in the church or family, but the one that really touched my heart was my meeting with Shannon. She really blessed me this week, not just being there for me, being a friend, encouraging me, and I want to give God glory for that. And then I visited Laura at a little sandwich man business, and I had such a good time with her mommy, and it really blessed me. It blessed me the way she's just so energetic about God and life, and I really want to encourage you today. Please start to build family relationships. You know what? You don't need to spend a lot of money. You can just invite. So I invited somebody over yesterday morning to my store, and I just made coffee there. And we had a glorious time with Jesus in my office. And I want to encourage you today. Do it. Make appointments. Spend that half an hour. And just see what God's going to do with you, for you, and through you. Amen.
Greetings, church. I think this is my last Sunday with you today. I want to thank God that I met all of you, and I'm not going to cry. During this week, so many of Shofar people came into the shop. And it's been a nice time with Eva and her sister, I don't know what's her name. And we spent some time chatting and getting to know each other. But most of all, we were blessed this week to have Georgie with us. And what a blessing that was, this young man. So full on for Jesus. And I was so blessed to see his vision and his passion for God. And when we got chatting while we were working and everything, because he's doing his bit of internal work. And I want to just thank God. And I want to ask God to preserve him, to keep his passion for the Lord. And go for the church. I accepted Jesus at the age of 30. And I'm never perfect. It's not worth it. Young people, go on with a passion for Jesus. You're losing out nothing. It's only a life of gaining. Go for Jesus. He is the life. Amen.
Dit is my soos bykie, die mens het eindelijk vergeet vir die afspraak, maar in elk geval, ek loop toe my ouse bezigheid in wat ek in die gelede gesien het, maar wat ons daar aan ken. Die ou lyk die vanmorgen van my, ek kreeg my koud, en hy lyk so fijn, maar ons gesels die ons wat. Die Heer is so getrou, ons gesels oor familie, en ek kan net vir ons sê dat die Heer wil hê ons moet een familie wees. En toe ek daar weg gaan, toe smaal die ouwe, en hy voel sommer beter, so prijs die Heer.
One of the key scriptures that I used last week was Luke 8, verse 21. Jesus, just for those of you who weren't here, Jesus' mother and brother comes to him, and they want to speak to him while he's busy ministering, and there's so many people around him that they can't get to him. And somebody comes and says, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside. They want to speak with you. And he stops and says, who is my mother? Who is my brothers? And he points to his disciples and says, those who hear my Father's voice and those who put it into practice, they are my brother, they are my sister, and they are my mother. And that's why I really want to catch you by. That those who not just receive the word, but take the word and make it life and put it into practice, those are God's family. Those are our family. You know, if I go to bed one night and my pillows are flat, and the next morning I wake up and I've got this terrible nap pain. You know, I go to the chemist and I buy a tube of DP. And I take the tube out and I start to read the instructions, you know, the how to apply and if there's any negative reactions and if there's, you know, any allergies that you need to be aware of. And you read the whole thing, it takes about 20 minutes. And you take the tube and put it back into the cupboard. What will change? Nothing. Because we need to apply the DP onto our neck before it makes a difference. And it's the same with God's word. We need to apply the word. You know, that's the amazing thing about the small groups. You know, every Sunday we come to church, we get a message. But we take that word to our small groups, and that is where it becomes life. Where we share, you know, the challenges we have. The 8 hours of the message, word. How do we apply them to our lives? How can we make it that the word life? How can the word bear fruit? We need to take the words and actually apply it. Yeah. Okay, that was last week. I've got a new sermon for you. Guys, I'm really, really frustrated. Okay, let me tell you a joke. There's this old dude that gets transferred to a new congregation. And the congregation is really excited. And the dude comes and he gives an amazing message. And everybody's really excited. You know, this week everybody just talks about this message that the dude brought. And the next time that comes, and the dude comes and the father brings exactly the same message. The cat around looks at this and don't understand, but maybe you know the Lord told you. And the third time Sunday, the fourth Sunday, the fifth Sunday, exactly the same message. And then there's something like that. The average speaker is doing. And they call him in at the meeting and they say, but you know, don't you have any other messages? Why do you bring the same one over and over and over again? He said, well, very, very recently, I'll change my message the moment you reply my message. I've got a new message for you, so don't worry about that. Okay, before we start, let me just close in prayer again. Father, we just come to you, Father, as your own children, Father. We pray that you'll come and speak to us, Father. You know about the word that I've prepared, Father, but I lay it down, Father. I pray that you come and speak to us, Father. We want your heart. We don't want to settle for anything less. We don't want to settle for anything fake. And Father, only you are the true life that we desire. In Jesus' name. Also, I pray you come and speak to us. In Jesus' name. If you want to quickly know where your person's heart is, it is very easy. All you do is take a look at his big bank statements and at his time spent. Because if somebody's heart is with fashion, you will see that's where they spend their money. It goes to words will work, you know, all the different places. And that's what they'll do with their time. They'll read up on fashion, the news. Dress code and the newest shoes and the newest stuff. If somebody is really passionate about cars,
Lucy is actually going to spend their money. The car will have the best dancers and the newest bumper and the best wheels. And also that's where they'll earn the money and the time will go there. And it is the same for us as Christians. If you harvest the Christ, it's very easy to see. Because that is where you come. That is where your effort will be. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Just like relationship with the city of God. And it's very easy for yourself to just do a self-check. You know, just look at yourself. Where do you spend your time? You know, do you go out mountain biking every day for an hour and then spend 5 minutes every morning with God and think your heart is with God? You know, it's shocking, but it's the truth. And if we spend our time and if we spend our money and our effort on other stuff, then we need to ask ourselves, you know, where is our heart? If we pray 2 hours a day and we spend 10 minutes mountain biking, you know, it's very, very obvious where our heart is. But I'm going to read from us from Luke 10, from verse 14. Now Jesus comes to a certain city, and there's two women that sat together, two sisters, and they invite Jesus there. But the moment Jesus comes into the house, the one sister called Martha, she starts running around trying to please everybody, serve everybody, and the other one, Mary, she doesn't do anything, she just goes and sits at Jesus' feet. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approaches and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. But Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled by many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part that will not be taken away from her. And one thing for us to ask is, look, I still have capacity of this. My heart of us, via the day, by the start of the morning. So come to Dostal and say, Here, and the Dini, that my sister, my dear Lord, the Dini, says something to help. My dear and good God, Martha, Martha, yes, the sword of the woman will buy the man. My name is in his mother, Maria, the best deal of peace, and the son of our bashful woman. It is great to serve in God. It is great to help with the sound. It is great to make sure that there's love. It's great to welcome people at the door. It's great to be part of the band. It's great to be able to minister. But we must do that at a place where we've been at Jesus' feet. As the people do three gang, ons pad staan om by God uit te kom, dan is die van God uit te kom. You know, we're not supposed to do everything, try and cover every hole. You know, there are people called with specific gifts to bless the body of Christ. And we need to find out what is our gift, and we need to run with that. But we can't, you know, try and do everything, be everything. You know, Martha, she did a great thing. She tried to serve, well, if it was just the disciples of Jesus, it was already famous for people. She was trying to serve many people, make sure they're comfortable, make sure they have enough. I don't know what they served, but she was serving them. On the other hand, Mary, she didn't worry about what people thought. She just went down and said to Jesus, she just wanted more of Jesus. The other amazing thing is that through relationship, God created capacity in us. We're religious now. You know, God comes and proves us that we can bear even more, make even bigger difference. You know, once we get to Jesus and from there on we go, we are more effective. But the bottom line is we need to get to Jesus. That is where we get our energy from. You like my little lamp? It's ugly, I know, but it's the quickest one that I could get loose. We're like this lamp. You know, the moment we plug into the wall, there's light, there's energy, there's heat. But the moment there's no power, there's no energy, there's no heat. We need to be plugged in. We need to, before we come to church, before we go to Scarborough, before we go and speak to anybody about Christ, we need to get to Jesus first. In the meantime, we try to do it on our own. We try to do it on our own. But out of our own, we accomplish nothing. You know, there's so many examples in the Bible, you know, where it says, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit. You know, we've overcome. Why? Well, how did we overcome? By our efforts, by our striving and trying. No. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. We don't overcome by our own efforts. We don't overcome by what we could do. Wealth come by simply pointing to Jesus. And this is what Mary understood. Martha tried to please people. She ran around. She tried to satisfy people. And yet I'm sure that some of the disciples were going to look at Mary. Aren't you lazy? And she walked us into our house, but she doesn't even bring us a glass of water. She sits at Jesus' feet, and that's all she wants. But that is a better one. Not trying to do stuff out of our own arrival. Being plugged into God. And from there, going. From there, you'll be much more effective. From there, you'll have much more to give. From there, you know, God's grace is on you, and will take you much quicker to do the same thing that you're trying to do out of your own. Amen. I like to go back to the Psalms. Because David was just such a real man, with real issues, with real troubles, and with a real heart of God. And he says in Psalm 119 from verse 9, how can a young man attend his way? By taking heed according to your word. Who can a young man say, dear that is for now? Dear on the house of the word. You know, how do you overcome addiction? How do you overcome lust of thoughts? How do you overcome all that kind of stuff? Not by making a decision of standing and fighting, but by giving it to God. By taking His word. Mark said, look, if we need to know this word, if we get what's wrong, and it's with an uncle who put it soon. And not by our own power, but by the word. Not by our own studying, but by the word. En dit dis God se lewe as ons net lees van Psalm 63, Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God, early when I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry, thirsty land where there is no water. Die Afrikaans sê, ek soek u, o God, my God. Ek dors na u. Ek smag na u. Soos in 'n droë en dorre land. A land sonder water. En one of the other Psalms, David actually says, you know, like a soos a bosbok smag na water, smag my soul na u. Like a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. Wie was altyd baie dors? Die baie kies moet jy voorstaan, raak jy baie dors. Jou tong moet jy moet vastplak. You know, it's just like, you can't even speak, your throat becomes dry, your tongue becomes dry. You know, if somebody brings you, steak. And it's like the warm adieu. Somebody brings you Swiss chocolate. You know, warm adieu. All you need, all you want is water. And that is what David is saying. Nothing else is good enough. The only thing he wants is God. He thirsts for God. And I remember when I was praying rugby, you know, at the beginning of the season, it is still very hot. Then you play for 20 minutes, and then there's a water break, and you play for 20 minutes again, and then it's half time. You know, the reference to some guys decide not to give you that water break. And they'll have energy, they'll have oranges, they'll all kind of have a beautiful amount of water. Is that the thirst that you have for God? Do you, when you wake up in the morning, say, you know, before I even get my coffee, before I even, you know, shower, I just need God's word, I'm just so desperate for God's word. We're going to, at the end of the service, pray that that thirst will come to the city, that that thirst will come to this congregation. We don't try and satisfy ourselves with other stuff, but we run after the true water, the living water. And I said, for David, it wasn't just a talk thing, you know, it was his life. I just did a search yesterday, Friday, in the week, just about how many times in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel, there's written that David went and inquired of the Lord. It was 8 times that they spoke about it. So I just want to bring one of those examples for you. Okay, so David. Saul wants to kill David, so David runs away. And he actually aligns himself with the Philistines. He's actually a mercenary. He's a god for his family, for the enemy. And they gave him a property. They said, here's a place called Ziklag. You can build your city there, your people can stay there, and then, you know, when we go to war, you can come with us. So it comes and you know, the Philistines go to war against Israel. And David, he's on the Philistine side. And he actually goes and they encamp, you know, with the battlefield in front of them. And then suddenly the prince of the Philistines, Paul is one of his captains. So I said,
who is that guy?
He said, well, that is David. I said, is that David that sings songs of, you know, Saul killed his hundred, but David killed his thousands? Is that David? I said, yes, it's that David. I said, no. He can't be around that. He might just decide to turn in the middle of the battle and join his countrymen. And then one actually tries to convince the prince and say, no, he will fight with us. Well, I said, no, take him back. He needs to go home. So early the next morning, David and his mighty men, they're off. They go home. The Bible says they traveled for 3 days before they came to their own city, called Ziklag. And when they come there, the Amalekites have destroyed the place. There's nobody left but to get everybody else as slaves. They burned the city because nothing left to go. And suddenly there's these rumors that start. Now maybe we should just kill David. He is the source of our sorrow. And if it wasn't for him, our families would still be alive, our wives would have been taken away. You know, what did you do? They tried to keep the guys morale, but said, let's run after them. But that's not what David does. David stops while these people, you know, talking about maybe he's just killing them. He stops the bus. And he said, let's inquire of the Lord. 1 Samuel 30 from his 8. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue these Jews? Shall I overtake them? And he, speaking about the Lord, answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Yet you can't say, yes, I know that was us. Daar het die Here geraak weer. Moet ek hierdie bende agtervolg? Sal ek hulle inhaal? En die Here het hom geantwoord, ja, want jy sal hulle inhaal en jou mense red. Sometimes we get in a tough spot and we need to make a decision quick. And then we allow our own hearts and our own minds to get in the way of just taking a step and say, God, what is your will? God, where do you want me to take? You know? If we want to prosper, if we want to be successful in anything we do, we need to be plugged in. We cannot make a decision switch off. We cannot make a decision without knowing God's will. We need to be plugged into the source. And when we are plugged into the source, we can go with boldness. Because from there on, David, he actually didn't even take all his soldiers. He left some of the weary ones behind. And he ran, and the overtake them only to the Amalekites. And without fail, nobody lost their lives. Nobody lost their lives. All the wives, all the children, was brought back safe. Verse 3. already clean. Sometimes I just say, you are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This scripture literally just shook my world. Without God, I can do nothing. Do you know that? It doesn't matter how much you practice. It doesn't matter how long you take to prepare a sermon, or how long you try and pick up plans with how you can grow yourself, or how you can, you know, draw more people. If you don't do it with God, it will mean nothing. But if you do it with God, He will prune. It says by His word, some of us have already been pruned, so we can be more effective, so we can bear more fruit, so we can have a bigger impact and change the city quicker. If you look at the Afrikaans verse, to be honest, like it last year. Ek is die waarheid van my stok, en my vader is boer. Elke noot aan my, wat nie verdra nie, sny hy af. Maar elkeen wat verdra, sny hy reg, sodat dit nog meer verdra. Julle is reeds, alreeds gesny deur die woord, wat ek vir julle gesê het. We don't become pruned by practicing, we become pruned by spending time in the word. Ons word gesnoei deur tyd in God se woord te spandeer, tyd in God se teenwoordigheid te spandeer. Ons word gesnoei nie deur soos ek nie dat harde werk nie. Ons word gesnoei deur meer tyd in God te spandeer. We can prune not by working harder, but by spending more time with God. Can we just share each other? Every breath drop. Because that is what it's all about. It's about touching people's lives. It's about changing people's lives by giving hope, by sharing, you know, the hope that we have with people around us. Now, there's many ways. You know, the fruit is ultimately people. But there's many ways of serving. Some people, by standing at the door, make a difference. By making people feel welcome, they become the difference between somebody sitting and responding to an altar call and somebody walking out in the middle of the service. Other than practicing, that becomes the difference between somebody getting irritated and walking away, or somebody opening up their hearts to God. You know, simply by smiling, by giving somebody a cup of coffee, by making sure the floors are clean or the heaters are up. Thanks, Jacob. But now, we make the difference between somebody opening up their hearts and receiving God, or somebody just closing up and leaving. There's many ways of bearing fruit. But there's only one fruit, and the fruit of people. The difference we make in people's lives. The people that we will take to heaven one day with us. That is our inheritance, the Bible says. And you know what? It is not a struggle. It's not supposed to be a struggle. You know, seeking God's face, running after God, it is not supposed to be a struggle. You know, the Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. I was thinking of maybe, you know, taking the plug and making the walls of it come closer. It's not going to work. But the bottom line is, when we come to God, He comes to us. We don't need to go the full distance. You know the prodigal son? When the father saw him, the father ran to him. Nothing was going to stand in his way. The father saw the heart that is coming back, and he ran. And that is what God is for. The moment we say, God, I want you, I need you, I am coming to you, God comes to us. So don't allow it to be a struggle. It's not supposed to be. If you can't say, not that it would be my soul to get it out. Not my, not maybe, soul. He will draw close to us. You know, while I was preparing this book, there's just so many scriptures that they just popped into my mind, but, you know, just the damn Daniel. Daniel. You know, just how nothing stood in his way from him and his time with God. He prayed three times a day. And even when he knew he was going to be thrown into the lion's den because he prayed to God, he still did it. Nothing was going to stand in his way from him connecting to his God. Him being plugged into his life source. You know, but we Is that the attitude we have? You know, if you have to wake up earlier, Saturday and Sunday morning, go to work at 6, but now this week we have to go to work at 5, and then we say, we have to do early. But we wake up at 4 to spend time with God, and then still go to work. You know, we have the attitude that nothing, I'm so thirsty for God, nothing's going to stand in my way from connecting to my God. Nothing's going to stand in my way from having a relationship with my God. I think I told you this story before, that when me and her, we just met and started dating, and then she moved to Rudaport. Now, I was staying in Pretoria, and Rudaport is Joburg. And then I would just so desire to speak with her, just to have a company that I would, you know, after work, which is about 4 o'clock, get in my car and drive to Joburg. Now, if you know anything about Joburg traffic, that's not what you do. You get, this literally is about 45, 50 days, but it takes you about 4 to 5 hours. Because you don't drive, you sit on the highway. But it didn't matter, because I just wanted to see his face. And then I get to the editor, and I just at the garage, just bought some juices and chops, and I said, you know, how are you? And so I'm like, no, she misses me. And well, I'm at the gate, why don't you open for me? And she was so excited, and so she understands, you know, I just took 4 hours. But nothing stood in my way from you know, having a relationship with her. Nothing stood in my way from going to visit her. And is that the relationship we have with God? That we don't allow TV programs or chaos with friends or anything to stand in our way. You know, I've got a friend, Bob. He stays in Rwanda, and his name is Robert, but he wants us to call him Bob. And he's got a commitment. Friday nights, he doesn't do anything. There's no going out on Friday nights, there's no nothing. Friday nights is his and God's time. Nothing gets in the way. You know, you can invite him to a wedding, you can invite him to a funeral. Friday nights, he's off that now. We must probably send a mission team the next year to Rwanda. To Bob, he's an amazing guy. He just started a small group, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and it's already almost 50 people. So that's we will send a small group, a group of missionaries there. But yeah, the point that I wanted to make is that our heart's attitude. Or do we, you know, chop and change if I want to, maybe, if I don't want to, when it suits me, or... But why only go to God when I need something? When I'm in thy need, you know, now I come to church, now I go to school, but now I've... But in the winter in school, I'd rather stay at home. That's why I'm so glad there's so many people here this morning. You know, the cold didn't stop me, did it? Okay, but that's just where I'm going to stop. So there are many more scriptures that I might share, but we're not. Let's ask people to stand. Father, we just want to pray and thank you for your word, Father. Father, thank you for just sharing your heart with us, Father. And Father, as I said in the beginning, once again, Father, my heart's cry is, Father, this war won't stop here, Father. That this will bear fruit, this will become life, we will be able to put it into practice. Father, we will be able to say, Father, that nothing stands in our way from having a relationship with you. And it will not be a law that hangs over our necks, Father, but it will be a relationship that we will have the desire, Father, like waking up and not having your first cup of coffee that you miss. Father, we will not be able to wake up, Father, and carry on with the day without connecting. Father, you will become such a vital part of our day, Father. We will not satisfy, we won't be satisfied by not being plugged in, not getting our energy from you, not being charged by you, not getting a word for the day, not knowing what you send us out to do for that day, Father. But that every day, Father, we will stand up, Father, and seek you, like David said, Father. Just like yourself, Father, thirsting for you, like the desert, that you search for. That our heart, Father, will long for you, Father. Just like somebody that lives in the desert longs for you. Father, I just thank you, Father, that your children here, that there's some that you want to respond right now. There's some that you just want to come to the front and just once again make a commitment. Make a commitment to put nothing in front of their relationship with you. Father, thank you that there's a specific man here, Father, that needs to, Father, just sit down and just say, God, here I am. Help me to keep my commitment to you. Help me that nothing else will be a temptation to draw me away from you. But that I will, Father, stand fast in you. That I will not allow anything to get in the way, Father, from my time with you. Father, we will not look at it as law, Father, we will look at it as love, as relationship, Father. Just as we desire to go and meet with our friends, just as we desire, Father, to go and spend time with our spouses or our kids, Father, that we will desire to spend time with you. So Father, I just pray for all this now, right now, that people will not walk out of your way, but they will deal with you. They will come to your feet. They will bring Father their hurts. They will bring Father their struggles, and they will deal with it. And that your grace will be upon them. That your grace will be upon them, Father, to bring breath. Father, I know, Father, many times we just so struggle, Father. We just so, Father, stay still, school. We just so tired of struggling, just so tired of fighting. But we just give it and we just lay in bed and we don't get up, we get up. But I pray that today, Father, you just give us the urge, Father, to deal with it, Father, to plug in, to be recharged, to get new energy, Father. Father, we won't lay in bed and think we don't have the energy together, we don't have the energy to come spend time with you. But that you will open our eyes and show us, Father, we don't have energy because we don't spend time with you, because we don't get to you. That once we get to you, Father, you will even prune us and make us more effective. You will even prune us so we can bear more fruit. That we can make a bigger impact where we're staying, where we're looking, where we're living our lives. Jesus.